Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Matthew chapter 26. Someone sent me some humor, and it goes like this. He said there was a doctor who stood up in front of a large congregation at Oxford and said, "The foods that we are eating today, it's surprising that it hasn't already killed us." He said, "Our meats have red dye and steroids in them." He said, "The colas that we drink corrode the lining of our stomach and intestines." He said, "Not to mention that Chinese food is full of MSG. And then he goes on to talk about even the water that we drink has untold germs in it. He said, "But be that as it may," he said, "there's one food that causes more grief and more suffering than all others." He said, "You may have eaten it, you may not have, or maybe yet to eat it." He said, "Does anybody know what that is?" And the whole place just grew silent. There was one man, he was about 70 years of age. He lifted up his hand and he said, "Yes, I do." He said, "All right, what is it?" And that elder of 70 years said, "It's wedding cake." That's just humor. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to go to verse 36. And if you're with me, say amen. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed again, 'Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Today I went and had the privilege of speaking at the middle school for the teachers and administrators. Felt like that went really well. And then after that, I went over to Sister Lainey Thorne. Her father passed away. And her father got married to her mother when he was 16. They had 75 years of marriage. And according to that family, he was a very godly man. I attended that funeral. I came back home and I just sat in my office and prayed and sought the Lord for this service tonight. And I had a heaviness in my spirit for Sunday night service. And for whatever reason, that heaviness has not left my spirit. So tonight I do not come with a message that might encourage you as much as I come tonight with a message that I pray God uses to challenge all of us. I come tonight more as a coach that wants to see the most out of you, because what we want the most is to see as many people go to heaven as we can possibly see. I think that all of us truly want that. And with that in mind, I want to just share my heart with you. And I pray that you would receive from the word of the Lord in the spirit in which it is in my heart. Let's pray together. Lord, I just ask you for the next few minutes that you would help me in the way, Lord, of a servant and in the way of a shepherd. And also in the way of a spiritual guide to come alongside this assembly tonight, the core of this church, and to challenge all of us to reach for more. And that's my prayer tonight in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. They say when a man has kidney stones, that the level of pain that that man experiences is the closest that he will ever experience to birthing a child. I do not know if that is the truth. I've never had kidney stones, and I pray I never do. Everybody say amen. But I do know what it feels like to be miserable. And in fact, in a spiritual sense, that's the way that I have felt Sunday night, and today. It's not because I don't feel well, I feel fine. It's not because I have the flu, I don't, thank God. But I think that it is because God wants to birth something in all of us. I had the privilege of being with Janet, my sweet wife, when she birthed both of our children. Both of our children were born in Kingwood, Texas, at Kingwood Hospital. And my wife is a very tough lady. She gave birth to both Trey and Molly, all natural, no epidural. And though I didn't feel her pain, I saw it on her face. And I heard it in her voice. And I could tell that she was one miserable young lady. I could tell that she was uncomfortable because to travail, you ladies know, us men don't know, but to travail in childbirth, what I experienced and saw seems to be uncomfortable, miserable, most likely extremely painful. Thank God I'm a man. None of us like pain. None of us. We do our best, myself, my wife included, to medicate our family members when there is pain. We all appreciate medicine that helps alleviate our pains. Nothing wrong with medication. I thank God for it. But all of us in this room we will experience some type of pain in our life. Even Jesus experienced pain. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out, he said, "Oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." In fact, he knew that this cup he was going to drink was going to be so painful, he didn't stop at one time. He went back for the second time. And he said, "Lord, God, I come to you again. If it's possible, let this cup pass." And he even went back the third time, and the scripture said he prayed the same words. "If it be possible, Lord. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Why? Because he knew that that cup was full of pain and it was full of suffering. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't say this, but let me say it. He was giving birth to the church. And he went through great agony and pain that night. In fact, if Jesus had not gone through such great pain and agony, if he would have said, "No, I am not drinking this cup," do you understand the New Testament church would not have been born? Brothers and sisters, it was the pain of Calvary is the reason why that you and I have forgiveness of sins. We're baptized in his name and we're filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Because of the pain that Jesus endured that night at Gethsemane. Everything in him, brothers and sisters, wanted to leave that garden and go back maybe to wherever he had come from to get there. The flesh did not want to drink that cup. And my flesh tonight does not want to come and to preach this message. But I am compelled as a shepherd of Almighty God to challenge this church once again and remind each and every one of us of a scripture here tonight. The scripture says that unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth, it abides alone. That seed does no good if it stays in the package. That package has to be open or broken, if you please. And that seed has to be planted in the ground. It has to be left in that dark soil if it's going to die and bear fruit. To one of the great churches in America, I challenge you tonight that remember, revival does not come without a great cost. Seeing sons and daughters being birthed in our altars does not come without mama travailing. We don't hear much in the modern day church of travail. But Isaiah tells us that when Zion travails, then here's the byproduct of that. Sons and daughters are born. And mama, I'm talking to mama tonight. I'm not talking to the crowd. I'm not talking even to the congregation. I'm talking to the core. I'm talking to mama. And pastor's talking to mama, and I'm challenging mama. Mama, we don't have any babies unless there's some travail. There's going to be pain to bring forth a child into this world. I know we have epidurals today. I'm all for minimizing pain, but I'm going to also express to you tonight, there are some things that are just not pain-free. The death of a grain is necessary if there is to be a harvest. We all like the harvest. We all like the eating from that which we have plowed and planted. We enjoy the fruits of our labor, and we all enjoy the smell and the beauty of a newborn baby. But the process of plowing and the process of planting and the process of birthing a child are neither easy nor pleasant. We all enjoy when our prodigal sons and our prodigal daughters come to our altars, and we rejoice over the tears of repentance at an altar. And yet I am convinced tonight that before we see their tears, God first has to see our tears. Just as water is necessary for any crop to grow, I believe that it is necessary that we water our seed, so to speak, with our tears from travail and from prayer if we're going to see the growth and the return of our prodigal sons and our prodigal daughters. Tonight I have the unfortunate task of preaching this message, but it's my assignment from heaven. I'm talking tonight about the cup of pain. And before the Holy Ghost could come as the comforter on the day of Pentecost, Jesus had to be miserable in a garden. And he had to sweat great drops of blood. Because what God was doing in a garden is he was giving birth through travail and through prayer and through groanings that could not even be uttered. And in his disciples, when he needed them the most, they fell asleep. And I'm here tonight to awaken us to a call of prayer and travail and revival. I'm preaching to mama tonight on a Wednesday night. We see this in life, that death of a seed happens before the life of a harvest. We understand the sounds of a mother's travail before we hear the sound of a newborn crying. I cried that day, tears of joy, when Trey came into the world. I cried tears of joy when Molly did. Janet wasn't crying tears of joy. She was crying because she was in pain. She was crying tears because she was miserable. And brothers and sisters, before we ever heard Trey laugh, there were tears before we heard laughter. Calvary's pain came before the upper room revival. I know this message doesn't sit well with any of us, myself included. But I preach to you because I love you and because I have a shepherd's heart, and I'm mandated by God to preach this tonight and to challenge every one of us that real prayer meetings cost. And when a mother births a child, it's not cute. It's real cute when they had the bow in their hair, but if you've seen a baby be born, it's not pretty. There's the afterbirth. There's blood. Mama's crying. She's been in pain. She's been in travailing. The cuteness comes later, but the cuteness doesn't come in the labor room. The bows and the fluff and the frill, that comes in the laughter. It gets there, but before all of the frills and the fluff and the bows and the laughter, there's travail. There's pain. There's literal tears because somebody has got to travail if sons and daughters are going to be born. Empty altars are the result of empty prayer rooms. And y'all know that I'm not a hard-nosed preacher, but I come to you tonight and remind all of us that real revival cost a church. It cost a pastor. It cost us travail. It cost us sacrifice. And if we want to see our sons and our daughters come back, we got to make sure somewhere we're getting into a private closet of prayer and we're crying out again, God, we want a harvest. We want revival. We want to pay the cost. We want to pay the price to see the Quincy come to God. How many want to see De Quincy saved? Then give God some praise right now. I know this is heavy, but you must be challenged tonight. The birth of the cross cost Jesus. And the birth of the church cost Jesus. And the price was Calvary. A nice house cost. How many know that? How many know a nice car cost? How many know to have lights, water, and gas cost? How many know to send your kids to education? Cost. Anything worth having, it cost. The old saying is, there's no such thing as a free lunch. A powerful church, mama, it cost. It cost the shepherd. It cost mama. It cost the church. A revival church cost. It's costing me. It's costing you. I'm going to just tell you tonight, I'm not looking for 3 points and a poem and a song and go home. I'm preaching my passion. I want to see a move of God in this church. I want to see a move of God in this church where my kids and your kids are laid out, slain under the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't know if that still happens. I'm going to tell you, when I was just a young boy in Cleveland, Texas, I literally got slain and drunk on the new wine. I wasn't drinking Jack Daniels or Bud Light. I was drinking from that fountain of living water. And they had to carry me out speaking with other tongues because I couldn't speak in English. Brothers and sisters, when the devil tried to attack me and say, your experience isn't real, I could take him back to a place in a Pentecostal church and say, devil, I'm going to tell you something. You're a liar. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. You can't make me doubt this. I experienced it for myself. Am I communicating with you tonight? What I want for this church is more than surface religion. I want something more than sin management for me and for you. I want our Hope House guys to come and do more than just manage their sin. I want there to be a metamorphosis. There's a change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We got to have the blood in our preaching. We got to have the blood in our sermons. We got to have the blood in our songs. Are you with me right now? We must continue to push in our prayer. Monday night prayer. It's not just a night what we take up because we have nothing better to do. We cannot let up, back up, or shut up in our prayer. We got to keep fervent prayer. Jesus himself did not say, my house would be a good house of entertainment, a good house of great music, even a good house of great preaching. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Shout prayer. Family prayer on Monday nights. There's going to be some all-night prayers on Friday nights when you take an hour and maybe even stay longer than an hour, but we're pressing. Why? Because revival cost. Because moves of God cost. Because prodigal sons coming through those doors cost. And I don't know about you, but I told you a few months ago, I'm all in, and I meant it, and I still mean it, but I can't do it by myself. And I'm not here barking at you. I'm here challenging you like a spiritual coach that says, I think you want revival in TPC. I think you want your sons and your daughters having this experience of old-fashioned Pentecost. I think you want to change more than sin management. You want to metamorphosis. You want to change. We want to change. Fervent prayer must always, shout always. It must always prevail at TPC. I challenge this church tonight. TPC, we got to go deeper in worship. This church has heard enough of the word through Brother Bennett, through the excellent ministry of Brother Bennett, the excellent ministry of Pastor Hennigan, the evangelist that you've had through here. We've heard enough preaching to save the world. And I'm thankful for it.
I love the word. I love that you love the word. I enjoy preaching the word. But also at the same time, there was a glory that came in Solomon's temple. And it was so powerful and it was so strong that the priest could no longer minister. And the glory of God filled that house. Brothers and sisters, I say unashamedly tonight, I am praying for the glory cloud to come in TPC. That may I be so bold to tell you, it would be as a blue haze in this house that literally the naked eye could see it, and these youth would see it, and they would feel something that grips them and changes them, and know that they have something more than just a little experience. They got a hold of something that radically can change their life. Somebody give praise to the Lord. We must go deeper in worship. Worship in the Old Testament required, it mandated a sacrifice. An animal and the flesh of an animal had to die. Brothers and sisters, when we come in, I don't always come in feeling like worshiping. Sometimes I do, many times I don't. But if we will have what God wants us to have, just as in the Old Testament, some flesh had to be sacrificed. Our flesh, after a long day of work, must too be sacrificed. And we must give Him the sacrifice of praise. I will enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I may not feel like it. I may be bone tired. I may be mentally stressed to the max. But when I come into the house of the Lord, God deserves my best. I don't want to give God my leftovers. Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, was not leftovers. God never gives His people stale bread. Are y'all with me? Every morning it was new manna. Until on that sixth day they had to collect it for the seventh day, and it was a double portion. But every day it was fresh bread. I want to make sure that I'm not giving God some leftovers from last Sunday night. And I got just a couple of more waves in my hand because most of them were out Sunday night. No, God help me to come back and lay my flesh on the altar and say, God, I may be bone tired, but here I'm coming again, giving you my best, giving a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. All over this house, give God some praise, would you? How many knows that your flesh don't want to pray? How many knows your flesh don't want to worship? You got to lead your flesh to the prayer closet. You got to lead your flesh to open up and begin to worship God, because it's flesh. And that which is of flesh is flesh. It's carnal. But that which is of spirit is spirit. That's why you got to go back to the well every day, because your old flesh can get dry. But you got to go to the well, which is spirit. And you got to drink that spirit. And you say, flesh, I got enough spirit in me. I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to sit down and you're going to behave. And you're going to do what God wants you to do. You're going to come and worship God, whether you feel like it or not. Did that just make sense? In other words, you got to drink enough of the spirit to make your flesh do what your flesh don't want to do, because your flesh is carnal and it's enmity against God. Are you with me now? So here's what I've learned, and I think you know it. Fire doesn't fall on empty altars. If there wasn't a sacrifice, God didn't show up. Here's the reason why many denominational churches are shutting their doors, because there's no sacrifice. It's all about flesh. It's a parade of flesh. Oh God, help all of us to hide behind the cross. even when I'm preaching, I pray, God, don't let me, Lord, be seen in my flesh, but let the Spirit come forth. Hallelujah. Without prayer, without sacrifice, without fasting, these words on this iPad are just words. But if I put prayer with it, and I put sacrifice with it, and I put fasting with it, then you know what? It becomes the living word. And God takes His word, and He stirs up His people, and He calls them to action, and He calls them to prayer, and He calls them to do what He wants them to do. Can I tell you that failure is no big deal? It's really not. That's why Christ died. Christ died for our failures. That's not a big deal. Patterns are a big deal. When we keep doing the same reckless things over and over, then you know what happens? Then we cannot be trusted to do the right things. Brothers and sisters, it's not about can you trust God? That's a given. The question is, can God trust you? Can God trust you? It was the king who lent the talents to the servants, not the talents lended to the king. Are you with me? It's us making sure that God can trust us, because we know we can always trust Him, because He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Why are you saying that? I'm saying I want to get to a level of dedication that God says, you know what? I can trust you with this move of God. I can trust you with what I want to do. I can trust you with the full house and you won't get a big head. I can trust you with 100 in your youth group. I can trust you with some increased finances to give to missions. You won't hoard it up for yourself. I'm wondering tonight, how much can God trust you with? You're saying, God, give me more. God, bless me more. Enlarge my borders. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my circle of influence. But you're still struggling to write out a $10 tithing check. I'm talking about the cup of pain. I want God to trust me with more. Don't you? But if He can't trust us with the little, then He can't trust us with the much. God wants to be able to trust us, and so sometimes He allows pain to purge us of bad patterns. I'm not saying if you're going through something bad that it's because of sin. Many times when you're attacked, it's because you're anointed. But you know if there have been repeat patterns in your life. And if so, then God's eventually going to come to you and discipline you, because He wants those patterns out of your life that would cause you eventually to wreck and destroy your life. Because God has purpose. Shout, I have purpose. God has purpose, ladies and gentlemen. He's got purpose. I am right now fulfilling the purpose for which God called me. But there's no way I can do this by myself. You have a purpose. You have a gift. You have an ability. And here's what it says in the Old Testament. I've said it before. I'll say it again. When every man is in his place, the battle's won. But where God wants to take us will not come without cost. Will our musicians please come? The lack of fire is a sure sign of the lack of God's presence. Because your God, the Bible says, your God is a consuming fire. John came preaching a message of repentance, and that was good. We need it. But John also said, there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you. And that baptism is going to be with the baptism of fire. I'm not 100% sure about what I'm fixing to say. But I think, as I have studied the scriptures, I don't see where God is ever, that he ever relates himself to ice. I haven't found it yet. But he does relate himself to fire. Because fire changes. It changes the elements. Fire is what purifies the silver. It's what purifies the gold. What are you saying? I'm saying, God, I want all of TPC, myself included, to get a fresh baptism of this fire. So that it purges us of old patterns. And it purges us of sins and weights that would so easily beset us. I feel like a coach tonight, a spiritual coach, coming to the team and saying, you know what? I want to see you be a champion. Because champions bring home championships. And that coach is in there saying, you know what, guys, you got to do another rep. And they said, well, coach, we've already done two reps, but come on, push yourself. Do one more. Coach, it's hot with this helmet on. It's 90 degrees and 100% humidity. I know it's hot, and I know your head feels like it's about to explode, but do one more lap. Because when you come into that game, I want you to be ready, and I want you to give it all you got. Because when it's all said and done and you lift up that trophy, you're going to say, man, it was so worth it. I'm in. I'm telling you, sweet people, I'm in. I'm all in. And I'm not going to stop with the help and grace of God. Not going to stop by the help and grace of God. I'm going to see this house full of prodigal sons and daughters. I'm not just flapping my gums tonight. I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm going to see this whole youth group just slayed out under the power of Almighty God. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I hope you join me. I want you to join me. I need you to join me. Pain is just part of progress. Anybody feel what I'm feeling tonight? Oh, God. I'm learning, and I'm closing, but I'm learning that you only grow to your threshold of pain. I'm going to say that again because it's a great statement. You only grow to your threshold of pain. Paul, if you want to go into the third heavens, then you better get ready for a thorn. That even though you beseech the Lord three times to remove, he says, I'm not removing it. Because what I've let you see and what I let you experience, this pain is a reminder, lest you would be exalted, Paul, above measure. So your threshold of pain is your level of growth. Little pain, little growth. You want to go in the gym and push up 50 pounds three times? Probably not going to see much. Want to go in the gym and get on the treadmill and run 2 minutes at the slowest speed possible? Probably not going to see much change. What's the old saying? There's no gain. without pain. I'm challenging this church tonight. You are hearing my heart. I am challenging every core member of this church. God wants a level of demonstration in this church. And I want to do my part to fulfill God's purpose for this assembly. How many times has it been prophesied that this church would be a lighthouse? Numerous. How many times has it been prophesied that this church will one day be full? Numerous. So here's what I'm saying in closing. If not now, when? And if not us, who? This is our day, TPC. But it won't come without a cost. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I love each and every one of you dearly and deeply. I'm going to ask you to stand.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.